Title: Mapping Chopped Breaks to Push Pads Beginner. Alright, welcome in. Today we're doing one of the most satisfying drum and bass workflows in Ableton Live, taking a classic break, chopping it up, and mapping every slice across your push pad so you can play it like an instrument. This is a huge step in DNB because it takes a loop that sounds finished and turns it into raw material you can recompose. That's where the roll comes from. Ghost notes, little re-triggers, quick edits, and fills all from your fingers. By the end, you'll have a drum rack full of break slices, a push layout that actually makes sense under your hands, and a tight little loop you can build into an 8 to 16 bar idea fast. Let's go. First, quick session setup. Set your tempo to 174 BPM. That's a solid modern DNB starting point. Anywhere from 170 to 175 is common, but 174 is a great default. Now create two tracks, one audio track for the break sample itself, and one MIDI track for the sliced instrument we'll play on push. Ableton will actually build the MIDI track for us in a minute, but it's good to understand what's happening. Now step 1. Choose a break and warp it properly. Drag a breakbeat onto your audio track. Amen, think. Funky drummer, anything works. Even a random break loop is fine as long as it has clear transients. Click the clip so you're in the clip view. Turn warp on. Here's the big beginner win. Get the break perfectly on the grid before you slice anything. If your warp is drifting, every slice you play later will feel almost right but never really tight. So we fix it now. Check the seg. BP them. If Live guessed the original tempo wrong, correct it or at least get it close. Then choose a warp mode that behaves well for breaks. Use beat mode, set preserve to transients, and for now keep transient loop mode off. We want clean slicing, not little looping artifacts. Now find the real first downbeat of the break, the true one. If the waveform starts with a little pickup or silence, don't assume the first visible transient is beat 1. Zoom in, listen, and locate the first proper kick and groove downbeat. When you're confident, right-click and choose warp from here, straight. Then loop the clip and make sure it cycles cleanly. Aim for exactly 1 bar or 2 bars. 1 bar breaks are super common in jungle style chops. 2 bars gives you more variation. Either is fine. Your goal, when the loop repeats at 174, it should land like it's glued to the grid. No flamming, no late snare. If something feels off, go back and adjust warp markers before moving on. Cool. Step 2. Slice the break to a drum rack. This is the most push-friendly method. Right-click the warped audio clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. In the slicing dialog, choose how to slice. Start with transient. It's fast, musical, and usually creates slices where the actual hits are. If you want a more edit-heavy feel, like strict grid cutting, you can slice by 1/16 instead. But for a first pass, choose transient. For slicing preset, pick the built-in option to slice to drum rack. Then hit OK. Ableton will create a new MIDI track with a drum rack. Each slice becomes its own pad, and each pad has a sampler loaded with that slice. You'll also see a starter MIDI clip that recreates the original loop. That clip is useful as a reference, because it proves the slices are in the right order and timing. Now step 3. Get push controlling it. Arm the new sliced MIDI track. On push, press drums. You should see the slices laid out across the 4x4 pad grid. If you press drums and it looks empty, it usually means the drum rack device isn't selected. Click the drum rack in Live, then press drums again. Push follows device focus, so just keep that in mind. At this point, every pad is a piece of the break. It's playable immediately, but the layout is often chaos. So step 4 is where this becomes an instrument. Rearrange pads for performance. Default slicing often places a snare on some random corner, the kick on another page, and ghost notes scattered everywhere. You can absolutely learn the layout as is for quick edits, but if you want finger drumming to feel natural, you'll reorder. Here's the mindset shift. Start thinking pads as an instrument, not pads as slices. On push, tap pads until you find the main snare. It's usually the loud backbeat hit that feels like beat 2 and 4 energy. When you find it, decide on a home position and move it there. A classic idea is putting the snare somewhere central, like a comfortable index finger pad. Then find the main kick slice and place it adjacent so your other hand can hit it naturally. Then bring in a couple performance critical extras, a ghost snare, a closed hat, an open hat or noisy cymbal, and maybe one loud trashy hit for character. You really only need 6 to 10 core pads to start. Put those in one tight cluster so your hands learn one home position. The rest of the slices can live around the edges or on another bank. This one move makes you dramatically faster. To move a slice in Live, click the pad or chain in the drum rack and drag it to a new pad slot. Simple as that. Now step 5, make the slices behave consistently. This is where beginners level up quickly, because raw break slices are messy. One hit is loud, another is quiet, and some have long tails that smear your groove when you start playing 1/16 patterns. Click your kick pad, you'll see a simpler instance for that slice. Set simpler to one-shot mode. That way the slice plays as a hit rather than acting like a sustained note. Usually, turn warp off inside the slice simplers. You already warped the original loop before slicing, so warping again inside each slice can add weird artifacts or timing shifts. Now add a tiny fade. Seriously tiny. Half a millisecond up to about 2 milliseconds. This prevents clicks at the start or end of a slice. Next, do a quick length cleanup with the amp envelope. If a slice has a long tail that overlaps everything, shorten the decay. You're not trying to kill the vibe, you're trying to keep fast patterns clean. Now do a quick leveling pass. Go pad by pad for the important hits and adjust the simpler gain or volume so the main kick and main snare feel balanced before any processing. If you skip this, you'll fight your processing later and wonder why the groove feels inconsistent. Two more big things here, voices and choke. For hats and noisy slices, set voices to 1 so they don't stack. Stacking hats can make a wash of noise and kill the definition of your rhythm. And for open and closed hats, use choke groups in the drum rack. Put the open hat and closed hat in the same choke group, so they cut each other like a real drum kit. That instantly cleans up the groove. Optional but useful, filters. For hats, high pass around 200 to 500 HC to keep low-end junk out. For kicks, you might leave it open, or low pass a little if it's too clicky. Just don't overdo it. Now step 6. Make it hit like modern DNB with a simple bus chain. Important. Put this on the drum rack itself first, not on every slice. Start simple and get the whole break feeling good. Add EQ 8. High pass around 25 to 35 HC to remove sub rumble. In DNB, your sub bass needs to own the 40 to 80 HE zone, so don't let a break steal that headroom. If it's muddy, dip a little around 200 to 400 HC. Small moves, then add drum bus. Drive somewhere around 5 to 15% to taste. Crunch can be 0 to 10% for grit. Boom is optional, and you have to be careful because it can fight your sub. If you use boom, try tuning around 50 to 60 HC with a very low amount. Then add glue compressor. Try an attack around 3 to 10 milliseconds, release on auto or around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds, ratio 2 to 1. Aim for only about 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on peaks. We want cohesion, not destruction. If you want extra density, add saturator after that with soft clip-on, and drive maybe 2 to 6 dB. Watch your output level. Loudness tricks you into thinking it's better. Now step 7. Build a playable pattern. Create a new MIDI clip on the slice track. 1 or 2 bars is fine. Start with the classic rolling two-step skeleton. Put your snare on beats 2 and 4. Put your kick on beat 1. And then try adding another kick on the end of 3. That's a super common variation and it instantly feels like DNB. Now add hats. A simple 1/8 or 1/16 hat pattern works. Use your hat slices and keep them controlled. If they're too loud, everything sounds amateur fast, so keep hats tucked in. Now the magic. Ghost notes. Use a ghost snare slice and place it just before or just after the main snare. Keep the main snare strong and keep the ghost notes quiet. As a rough guide, ghost velocity is around 30 to 60, main snare around 90 to 120. Not a rule, but a good starting lane. Teacher tip, if your groove isn't rolling, don't add more notes yet. First, get kick and snare hitting consistently, then add one ghost note, then one more. DNB grooves are often about the right few notes, not the most notes. Now step 8, add swing and movement. Open the groove pool. You can try a swing 16 groove with subtle settings, or even better, extract groove from the original break. Right-click the original audio clip and choose extract groove, then apply that groove to your MIDI clip. Keep it subtle. Timing around 10 to 30% is plenty. Velocity amount, maybe 0 to 20%, careful. Random, 0 to 10%. And here's another pro feeling trick that's still beginner-friendly. Micro-nudging. Instead of swinging everything, try nudging only ghost notes slightly late by a few milliseconds while keeping the main snare locked. That gives a drummer feel without making the whole beat sloppy. Do it sparingly. 1 or 2 nudges per bar is enough. Now step 9. Turn your loop into a mini arrangement so it feels like a tune. Here's an easy 16-bar plan. Bars 1 to 4, your main loop, clean. Bars 5 to 8, add a little extra ghosting or a hack layer. Bars 9 to 12, Add a quick edit every two bars, like a stutter or a reverse hit. Bars 13 to 16. Bigger fill at bar 16, like a snare roll and a crash slice. Easy fill trick. Take your snare slice and repeat it in 1/16 notes for the last half bar, gradually increasing velocity slightly. That little ramp feels like lift into the next phrase. Now, a few common mistakes to dodge. If warping is bad, nothing else saves it. Fix drift first. If transient slicing creates too many junk slices, don't panic. You can ignore those pads or delete them later. Focus on your core pads. If you don't use choke groups, hats and tails stack and your groove turns into mush. If you overcompress, you kill transients and the break won't cut through a loud sub. And if your break is too much low end, it'll fight your bass line and ruin headroom. High pass and control the low mids. Now let's sprinkle a few big payoff extras, still beginner friendly. First, pad sensitivity. On push, check your velocity curve. If everything comes out loud, you won't be able to play ghost notes naturally. A comfortable curve makes finger drumming way easier. Second, follow actions for instant variation. Make a few one-bar MIDI clips in session view. One clip is clean, one has extra ghosts, one has a tiny stutter, one is a fill. Enable follow action so it jumps every bar or every two bars. You'll get automatic movement, and you can focus on sound and feel instead of constantly drawing an arrangement view. Third, reverse pre-snare hits. Duplicate a snare or cymbal slice, turn on reverse and simpler, shorten the decay, and place it right before beat 2 or 4. That little suck-in is classic jungle energy. Quick practice exercise to lock this in. Slice a one-bar break by transients to drum rack. On push, find one main kick, one main snare, and two hat or ghost slices. Make a two-bar MIDI clip. Bar 1 is basic two-step. Bar 2 adds a ghost snare idea and a tiny fill at the end. Add drum bus and glue compressor on the drum rack. Then bounce it and listen on headphones. Ask yourself, does it roll? Is the snare consistent? And are the hats too harsh? Let's wrap it up. This audio version is shortened for playback.